We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Forever a Bull podcast, connecting with the UB stars of the past. Here's your host, voice of the Bulls, Paul Peck.
Well, hi, everybody, and we've got a great guest for you on the Forever a Bull podcast today. Trevor Scott played for the Bulls in those formative years of the program from 2004 to 2007. He is fourth all-time in sacks with 19, second in FBS history behind only Khalil Mack. His 10 sacks in 2007, second only behind Khalil Mack in FBS history. He would go on to be a sixth-round draft pick in 2008, into the NFL by the then Raiders, and had a terrific NFL career playing with the Raiders, Patriots, Bucks, and Bears. And again, part of that part of the program where things started to get rolling as he was teammates with Willie and Roosevelt and Starks and all of those terrific players, Winters and Newton, that really got the Bulls on the headlines in 2008. But Trevor Scott's got a very interesting perspective on his role as a UB Bull. So here he is, Trevor Scott, Forever a Bull. Trevor Scott came to UB, played from 2004 to 2007, second all-time in FBS and career sacks. But when you first came here, Trevor, it was not as a sack master, was it? Tell everybody the story of the position change and really what originally brings you to UB.
So I was originally recruited as a tight end. So when I was originally being recruited, this was before all social media. You know, there was none of that. None of that existed. And they heard, you know, there was a pretty athletic guy up north, you know, maybe 6'5". They don't know. They had to come see for themselves. So I'm sitting in class one day, and then I get called down to the principal's office, and then it was my recruiter was Antonio Goss, Super Bowl champion. You know, he's a captain on special teams, 49ers. So he said, "Why don't you come down to UB, our Rising Star football camp?" So I'm like, "All right, sure, let's go." So I showed up. I did pretty well, and they offered me a full ride the next day as a tight end. So here I am, you know, and I showed up to campus. I was 6'5", 200 pounds, soaking wet. But just I busted my butt, you know, throughout the Jim Hoffa era, and then things didn't work out. Turner Gill came in and said, you know, "What would you think about playing defensive end?" And I said, "You know, whatever it takes to get on the field and play, like, I'll do it." So, and that was my transition from Buffalo, from a tight end, backup tight end, to then starting, you know, defensive end my junior year.
You know, for right or for wrong, you know, you come from an area that doesn't always get recruited a lot, and I think there's a lot of players that get missed. So when you come to Buffalo out of Potsdam, was there a little bit of wonder in your mind, like, can I do this? Am I legit? Look at these guys I'm going up against. How long did it take you, if at all, to figure out that you could be a college football player?
You know, I questioned. My freshman year was really tough. I mean, I showed up like in – I'm the big guy on campus in Potsdam and in the North Country. And my first day at Buffalo, I remember like we went to the Red Jacket because that's where our study table was, our dining hall. And these dudes are coming in, Lamar Wilcher, Chris Clifton, Rodney Morris, like, and these dudes are so jacked. I remember I called my mom that night and I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna survive. I really don't. Because I thought I was big. And like I said, like I was so skinny compared to everybody else. But then I took it upon myself. I'm like, well, I'm here now. I'm going to get in the weight room. I'm going to bust my butt. I'm just going to be a good person and see where I can take this thing. But I never had like aspirations of playing in the NFL in the sense of like, I didn't grow up thinking like I was going to be an NFL player. I grew up with just a blue collar mindset, and I was going to give it my all no matter, you know, what it is. And you're going to see what happened from there. And then I just kept getting a little bit better every year, a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, a little bit faster. You know, thank the Lord, we had a great strike staff throughout my entire time at UB. And I had great coaches around me who just really knew how to get it out of me and just to really push and end up working out.
If it wasn't for some guy named Mac, you'd be this school's FBS all-time career leader in sacks. So reflect a little bit on what the career was like for you, how it developed, and how proud you are of the accomplishments.
At Buffalo?
Yes.
Okay. So my time at Buffalo meant everything to me. It's the reason why I'm sitting in this seat today. It's the reason I met my wife, the reason I have my three amazing kids. And it was like collectively, you know, some of the best years of my life in football, right? Because we went to Buffalo, like we were a family, right? You know, we didn't have people coming in, coming out, you know, mid-season, during the season, you know, what we had with, we just built on, you know, we just grew together, you know, we failed together. But, you know, we were able to, you know, face adversity and get through it. But some of my best stories, my greatest relationships were because of UB.
Is there a moment or a game or maybe one of those stories that's top of the list for you?
Oh, man. Playing wise, it was definitely like my first sack, right? Because you know, Coach Gill, my coach Brian Monson, Coach Toby Williams, but they know like I was wired so tight, like any second I could have just snapped. And like going into my first game as a defensive end, I remember we opened up when it was against Temple. And the only thing you can think about is, like, oh, we got to get the quarterback, got to get the quarterback. And like, and I got one sack that game. And then that just completely just, you know, put me at ease. Well, put me in the ease in the sense of like, okay, like I got one out of my belt. Let's just get another one. But just like my experience, like just playing, right? You know, practicing. Training camps, just, you know, like, you know, the military talks about all the time, like going through the suck together, right? You know, that's when the closest bond you can form with somebody is when you're going through adversity with somebody. And that's all because of UB.
That 2007 season was pivotal in the program's history because it was a lot of the learning how to win year. And obviously things certainly happened the next year that, you know, and things have certainly happened since then. So what was it like to be part of laying that groundwork, and how impressed are you to see where this program has come from there?
I mean, I don't really like think about it as like laying like the groundwork. Right. I mean, I know, you know, maybe it was, but I mean, everything comes down to winning, right? Like you have to put, you know, as a coach, you have to be able to put the, you know, the coaches around you to create an environment that that breathes winning, right? And you saw what Coach Gill was able to do our junior and senior year. And then in 2008, the year after I left, you know, they won the MAC championship. You know, my senior season, we were co-East MAC champs. We went 5-7 that year. I mean, that was a big deal back then. And again, like, and everyone that, well, not everyone, but like 90% of the people that I came in with were like a part of that team. So just to be able to see, like, when we were going like winless, like I think I want to say I won like either 10, 12 games in 5 years, right? And for us to be able to, you know, put all that together, you know, my senior year after everything that we've gone through and been through, you know, it was pretty special. And then the 2008 season, I went back for that, well, for the bowl game up in Toronto, but for them to win the MAC championship, just the way they did in 08 was just the way the game was going, the ebbs and flows, the way the ball was coming to us, it was crazy.
So at what point do you start to realize that you might have a chance to continue your career and play in the NFL?
It was probably, like, I didn't think about it, right? All I thought about, it's all about, like, thinking small, right? Like, you don't, like, just walk in the building. You want to have big dreams, of course, but you want to just control what you can control. And that was just, you know, bringing my axe, my shovel every single day and just doing the best that I could. So I did that the rest of my junior, senior year. And then towards the end of my senior year, that's when, about the middle of my senior year, like that's when like professional scouts from different teams were showing up, asking questions. Like that really didn't exist, you know, before that. Cause we had other studs on it. I mean, we had Jamie Richard, we had James Starks, we had Dan Roosevelt. I mean, we had a ton of ballers too. Pro scouts started coming around the building, and then that's when it kind of started like, wow. Actually, let's take that even back a little bit more. I remember when we played at Temple at Lincoln Financial Field where the Eagles play, I remember we were on the field, we were doing stretches, and like Coach Jimmy Williams, Juan Taylor, I remember when we were stretching, they both said like, you know, this is going to be you next year, big man. And I'm like, yeah, okay. All right. Okay. We'll see. But again, like I just put that so far out from my mind just because like I had to handle the task at hand at first. But then, you know, the pro scouts started coming around and then it all comes down to pro day, right? You know, we win the MAC East championship and now it's all about pro day, right? Cause you're from a small school, you know, like we were then, we weren't nearly as what we are now. That's for dang sure. But it's all about numbers, right? Pro day numbers. I didn't get invited to the combine. So I just knew what I had to do, and that was to train my butt off and become bigger, faster, stronger again. So, and I was ready for my pro day, and I had a very, very good pro day. And did I ever expect to be drafted by the Oakland Raiders in the sixth round, number 169? Absolutely not. My whole mindset was just give me a shot. Just – some team, just take a chance, roll the dice, just get me in there as a camp body, and I'm going to prove you wrong, and I'm going to prove that I can stay on this team. So that was always my mindset.
What's that draft day 2008 when the Raiders call your name in the sixth round? What's that moment like?
It was nuts. It was nuts in the sense of I wasn't even watching the draft. I was because, again, it was just something that I could not control, and it's all about, like, you know, if my name's called – my name's called and it will be great. But again, I'm just thinking like, I'm not watching this. I know I'm going to be like a third, you know, after day than that. If I even were to go at all. And then for that phone to ring, like, listen, I'm going to put Al Davis on the phone. And then Lane Kiffin and it was madness. And I was just at home, you know, with my mom, my pops and our family. But yeah, it was a special day. That's for sure.
7 years in the NFL from 2008 to 2014, 85 career NFL games with the Raiders, Patriots, Bucks, and Bears. How do you reflect back and what makes you smile in memory of your NFL career?
The connections I made throughout. You know, I wasn't a guy who, you know, played my entire career on one team. It's very rare, very hard to do. It does happen, but like I would kind of, you know, bounce around, you know, and, you know, things happen, you know, throughout your playing career, you know, whether, you know, you always have ups and downs, you know, you could get injured, you know, things aren't going your way, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, it was all about the connections I made, right? The relationships I built, you know, throughout the, you know, the different teams I played on, you know, meeting people in, you know, the different cities. So I miss that the most, but I also miss, the game day experience, right? I went to my first game last year. My brother-in-law is the head special team coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts. And every year we go out to visit them. And then we go to a game, but I always stay behind with my one son. My wife always takes my other son. But then last year, they're like, you know what, why don't we go? So I remember like just walking to that stadium, just the smells, just like sitting up in the stands, just like looking at everything. I was like, man, this is the craziest experience ever. So it's just all about just, you know, not taking things for granted. It's easy to when you're going through it, right? But just like being done and then looking back at the game, it's unbelievable, like how special the game is.
As we can see in the wall of helmets, the tower of helmets behind you, you played for some of the most iconic teams in the NFL, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Bears. Did that make it any different, any more special to know that you had a chance to work with Al Davis and Bill Belichick, some of the biggest names in football history?
No, you definitely realize how special it is, right? Just to get an opportunity to even be in the same building as these legends of the game of football. But at the same time, like, you don't get a chance to just sit there and reflect on it, because what's happening while you're there, you're getting screamed at, right? So all you're trying to do is like fix your mistakes, you know, correct your play, right? Like, you don't get much chance to just kind of take it all in, right? It's once you step foot in that building, like, there's a fire lit and like we're just rolling. But like, once you get done, you know, with the game, because the game ends for everybody. I mean, no one plays forever. I don't care if, you know, if you're done in high school, if you're done in college, if you're done in pros, the game ends. But it's just like, but looking back at it now, and just like, even like watching the games on TV, like some of the documentaries that come out, like the Football Lives and the 30 for 30s, you're like, man, I can't believe I was in that building with those guys.
Yeah, well, one of your old teammates, Tom Brady, is getting pretty close to playing forever, but he's still the exception. I know you are involved in the UB football program. We see it a lot of games. It's always great to catch up with you. How much have you sort of latched onto what the program has become now? How proud are you of a program that's now won bowl games and 24 wins in the last 3 years and starting to turn out a bunch of other NFL caliber players?
I mean, I would say it doesn't feel real, but we just knew that this is the direction the program was going to go, right? Just from all the great coaches we had over the years that just, you know, expect greatness. And then to get, you know, a field house built just shows like the kind of commitment the university has made to continue this, you know, commitment to excellence type attitude, just for the sake of, you know, we want to be able to compete with everybody else. You know, if everyone else is winning, you know, what's going on, like, you know, just as far as like the recruiting tools and because people want to go in, they want to, especially the kids down south, right? They don't want to go up in the cold. You know what I mean? Like, okay, we got the indoor spot, mom, we're good. Like, cause you know, like they don't want their babies to freeze. You know what I mean? So, but it's just everything about the university, like all the training table stuff, all the upgrades that the facility has made, like the weight room, the refueling station. I mean, I couldn't even have dreamed to go to a school like that, you know, when I was at Buffalo, which seems like eternity ago. But I knew all along, like Buffalo, that this is what was going to be, you know, our path, you know, moving forward.
When you wear your Buffalo gear like you're wearing now, when you're talking to your old NFL guys who may have wondered, where's that? Or I didn't know Buffalo had a program when you were John in the locker room. Have you noticed how that's changed?
Oh my gosh, yeah. People know who Buffalo is. Trust me, believe that. Like, there's been some guys, especially, Khalil Mack has definitely put Buffalo. If you didn't hear about him, you know about him now. Because, I mean, he's a generational talent. And the fact he came from Buffalo, I mean, it is incredible. But when I came out, there were some guys like, where are you from? Like, Buffalo? What? And I'm like, but I always stuck up for Buffalo. Trust, believe that.
Well, right behind Khalil Mack on those all-time UB sack lists is this guy, Trevor Scott, forever a Bull. Good conversation with Trevor Scott. Again, an interesting perspective he brings to the UB football program, one of the first FBS players to be drafted, and there when the program got moving in the right direction. More really interesting conversations with some great UB Bulls coming up here on the Forever a Bull podcast.
Once a Bull, always a Bull. This has been a production of Bulls Digital.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and
and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.